Thank you so much. If you'd like to purchase one of Tommy's CDs, you can do so after the service in the narthex out there. And following today's service, we will take up a love offering for him, so you can drop off a generous donation at any of the exits today. But thank you for being with us. It has been a joy to have you and to hear you this morning. And let us prepare our hearts and minds for our scripture lesson this morning. And in honor of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, let us stand as we hear our gospel text today. The text is Matthew chapter 14. You can follow along in your bulletin or on the screen in front of you. Hear now the word of God. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against him. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. And let us pray. Almighty and all gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be worthy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and you are our redeemer. And it's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, friends, I have been so excited for this scripture lesson this morning. This is one of my favorite texts in the whole Bible because it involves one of my favorite characters in the whole Bible. Not just Jesus, but also Peter. I love Peter, and I think I do because I see so much of myself in him. Do any of you feel that way? Do you ever feel like you're living your life and Jesus looks at you and says, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" I hope I'm not alone in that. I love Peter so much because I think he is one of the most relatable characters in the Bible. He drops his net, he leaves his family and his friends behind to go and to follow Christ. And yet, as much as he dedicates his life and his ministry and all of these things to following Jesus, we know that he is the one who denies him three times. Peter is so full of faith and yet full of doubt at the exact same time. He is a flawed human being, but yet, he is the one that Jesus says the church will be built upon. He is the rock that will be the foundation of the church. And yet, we know that he still takes his eyes off of Christ and falls into the sea. And that is where we find ourselves in today's scripture lesson. This famous text of Jesus and Peter walking on water is such an important one. It comes to us as Jesus has just fed the thousands and thousands of people who had surrounded him. This wonderful profession of life and faith and nourishment has occurred to the crowds. If there has been any proof so far that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, that this is God in the flesh. These disciples have just witnessed it with their own eyes, right? And then we come upon today's text. The wind is roaring, and the disciples, they think they see something on the water, but they're using their rational thought, right? They're making this decision that I think we might have made too, that people don't walk on water. And so they assume that it is a ghost. I think we might have done the same. But yet, they hear Jesus say, "Take heart and do not be afraid. Do not fear." The number one command in the whole Bible is occurring again in this famous text today. But Peter, oh Peter, Peter needs a little more proof. And so he wants to know that it really is Jesus. He wants to know that it really is the one who took a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread and fed the thousands. He wants to know that this isn't just a ghost like he thinks it is, but it is truly God performing another miracle and walking on water. And so Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." It's a little pompous of Peter, I think. It's a little bold move here. And I think he's wanting some more concrete proof, as we humans often do, right? He wants something concrete, some form of evidence that this really is Jesus and it's not just his imagination. But Jesus says one word, "Come." He doesn't say, "Yes, it's me. Don't you see me? I'm the one who fed the thousands. I'm the one that you dropped your net to follow. I'm the one who sent you in mission and in ministry to share my love and hope with the world." Jesus doesn't say any of this. Peter wants a little bit more, but he gets one word, "Come." But he follows the command of Christ, and it says, Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But then this thing happens that seems to happen to us as humans. Peter gets a little distracted, right? Jesus tells him, "Do not fear, it is I." But this wind, it starts roaring. And he takes his eyes off of Jesus and toward the wind and suddenly becomes afraid. And it is then that he starts sinking into the sea. And Jesus looks at him saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And I have to be honest with you, as many times as I have heard this text over the years, as many ways as I have studied it, as many books that I have found it in, it always seems to focus on this one part, that Peter took his eyes off of Christ, that Peter doubted where he was and he doubted what he could do, and it is then that he sunk. And it points to all of us saying, we can't take our eyes off of Christ. We have to have the confidence to get out of that boat. We can't let that wind distract us. And so Peter, this wonderful character in the Bible, this wonderful disciple, this man of God, we seem to put blame on him. We seem to point our finger at him. We do this thing that we tend to do when we seem to think, oh, if I were in his shoes, I wouldn't have done that. I would have never been distracted by that wind. I would have looked at Christ all along. Have you ever heard this scripture and felt that way before? But the simple truth is that we're all humans, right? And whether we like it or not, There's times when we take our eyes off of God, too. We know we're not supposed to. We know that we, too, are supposed to have the confidence to walk on that water. But we get distracted when we should be following the course. And so rather than placing blame on Peter today, I want us to look at this text in a new way. I want us to look at this text with the courage that Peter had. Because rather than placing the blame on Peter, I want us to put ourselves in his shoes, put ourselves, well, in his sandals or maybe even those bare feet when he walked on that water. Because I don't want us to blame Peter, but I want us to look at his action and try to find the ways that we can follow him. Because the amazing thing about Jesus' call in this text is that it was just one word, come. And when Jesus looks at us in that same way, it might just be one word. We might be looking for proof like Peter did. We might be looking and saying, God, is that really you? Show me your face. We might feel like Peter feels on this day. But we have to do what Peter did. We have to have the courage to step out of that boat. Because if God could use someone as flawed as Peter, someone who is full of faith and full of doubt, someone who is full of courage and full of denial, somebody who can make just as many, if not more, mistakes as he does those right decisions. Friends, I think God can still use you and me too to step out of that boat and make a difference in this world. As I was reading this text this week, I couldn't help but think about a story I heard a long time ago, a story of a woman named Lillian. Lillian was a great woman of God, the woman who would be the first person in church on Sunday morning, the one who worked behind the scenes and you didn't even know how faithful she was, the one who shined the offering baskets in the middle of the week, the one who was there every Sunday in worship, in Sunday school, and any time you needed her. She and her husband were so dedicated to the church. But then unexpectedly, one day, her husband fell ill. And all too soon, she became a widow. And Lillian, she had this crisis of faith. She came to this crossroads. Do you know that intersection where real life meets real faith? Where hard times come your way, and you know you have to stay on that right path, but that weight is upon your shoulders, and you're not sure how you can keep going. That is the intersection that Miss Lillian found herself in. And here she was, a woman of God who had faith each and every week, someone that the little children and adults alike looked to as a spiritual hero. But then life became all too unfair. And she wasn't sure what to do next. And she found herself at this crisis, not sure what to do, not sure where to go, and not sure how to pray. She knew every week that she made a difference in the life of her church. But here she was in this time of grief and time of mourning. And she needed the church to make a difference for her. She needed to be reached out to. And so a dear friend came over one day knowing that Miss Lillian was struggling, knowing that she wasn't sure what to do. And so she tried to make that burden a little less by bringing her a batch of homemade muffins. Who doesn't like homemade muffins? and a couple magazines to distract her. In fact, she felt that Lillian just needed a break, needed to relax. She knew it was such a hard time and she didn't know what to do. And in those magazines, it was as if Jesus had said to her, "Come." You see, Miss Lillian read the story in this magazine about how difficult it is for prisoners in the world today. It's as if Pastor David knew exactly what we would be talking about. This has happened 2 weeks in a row now. It's really, really strange. We both talked about Moana last week. We're both talking about prison this week. We had no idea. Isn't that crazy how God works? So Ms. Lillian got this magazine, and it was all about the hardships and trials of the prison system. And I think those are things that we know, right? We know that it's not easy, a life behind bars, separated from friends and family. We know that people have taken wrong turns in order to end up there. But this article in particular shed a little bit of light on the humane aspect of that, in the loneliness and the pain that these prisoners face. And it talked about how they can be moved around and separated so far from their families, and that they don't get visited. Families quit stopping by. That there is shame and guilt that surrounds them. And Lillian, she knew a little bit about that pain and about that loneliness. And she felt this stirring within her heart that she could do something to make a difference. Suddenly, this boat that she had found herself in was changing. And it was as if Jesus had looked at her and said, "Come, take courage and step outside of this boat that you find yourself in." And Miss Lillian, she wasn't a wealthy woman. She lived a very meager life. But she had a beautiful antique desk in her home that had been passed down from generations. And lots of stationery in there. And she didn't know what to do, but she knew she could write. She knew writing always gave her peace. It helped her reflect on her days, reflect on the circumstances she found herself in lately, as she had journaled through her husband's unexpected illness and death. And so she thought, if these folks are lonely, maybe I can just send them a letter. And so that's what she did. At first, she wasn't sure what to talk about, but she knew when people were behind bars that they were so separated from the world, they didn't often know the changes that were taking place. So she thought at first maybe she could help prepare them for when they get out, for when their term is up. And she started doing basic things, talking about the TV show she was watching, or what the price of gas was these days, things to help prepare them, to help them get used to how the world was changing, even if they were separated from it. And then slowly she started receiving letters back about how much it meant that she was writing to them, about how they hadn't heard from their friends and families in months or years, and how this was their first connection to the outside world. And this was when that courage that Peter takes to step out of that boat, this was that moment when Lillian really started walking on water. You see, I think she felt these winds around her. She wasn't sure what she was doing, but she knew that she was suddenly called to this thing she would have never expected before. And she was a little bit scared to share her faith that had been rocked so boldly in the past few months. But she started taking her bulletin from church and jotting down messages, in the prayers, and in the sermon. And then this was the beginning of her sharing her faith with these men and women in prison. She started telling them about this difficult journey that she had been through, how she had been this woman of faith for decades and decades, but then her whole world got turned upside down. That the wind came and she started to sink, but it was as if God reached out just to her and said, "Honey, you can keep on going." In this story, it resonated with these men and these women who were struggling at this time, who also knew about that crisis, who also knew that they had made a wrong turn, who also knew that loneliness and pain. And so she didn't know what she was doing, but she kept praying and she kept writing. And week after week and month after month, she just started sharing things that she was learning in her church, things that she was learning in the world, the way that her faith could keep on going even when it felt like she was sinking. And this witness, this testimony that she shared, ended up changing people's lives. First, it started with just a couple of these folks behind bars. Then a handful, a half dozen, and dozens of people soon started gathering in their prison, reaching out to those chaplains saying, "I want to learn about this faith too." Started having Bible studies, started learning about this man named Jesus and how he reached out to those and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And started learning about how that doubt did not define them, that in their faith, they could keep on going. You see, Miss Lillian had no idea what she was doing. She just read a simple article in a national magazine about how difficult life can be for people that she knew only as an other. She didn't know their names. She didn't know their faces. She didn't know what they had been through. But in this holy and unexpected way, she had the courage to step out of that boat and make a difference in our world. You see, friends, when I read this text today, I don't want us to simply place blame on Peter for getting caught up in the wind. There's times when that's going to happen to all of us, even the most faithful ones of us. Heck, even Mother Teresa wrote a whole book on the darkness and doubt that she faced. Someone that the whole world looked to as someone of such strong faith. Even she doubted. That's going to happen in our lives. Heartache and pain, it's going to come our way. But it's not about that. It's about how we respond to it. It's about how we respond when Jesus says, "Come." Will we step out of that boat? Will we be willing to take that courageous step of faith? It's about when the wind comes our way and we get a little too distracted, will we be willing to latch onto that hand that reaches to us? Will we be willing to let God pull us out of that sinking water and let us know that God is still with us on this journey and there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God? Not our mistakes, not the wrong turns we've made, not even the unexpected death of our loved ones. That hurt and that pain that's weighing on your shoulders, that does not define you. The love of God is with us all, dear friends. And think, if God could trust somebody as broken and as flawed as Peter, couldn't God trust you and me too? In fact, he's the one that's a little bold here. He might be doubting the most out of all those disciples. But Jesus looks at him when he wants proof and just says, "Come." So, friends, let us not worry about those mistakes that we've made. Let us not let that weight on our shoulders weigh us down. Let us go to God in prayer and lift that weight up to the God who crossed from heaven to earth to be with us, to show us the way and the truth and the life, to promise to us that no matter what mistake we make, no matter if we get distracted by that wind, God is always calling us and reaching out to us and letting us continue on this faithful journey. Because we may never know when God says, "Come." It might be at the most painful moment of our lives. But even then, we can bear witness to that empty tomb. Even then, we can show the world that our faith keeps on going. That our faith isn't just a bunch of words or hollow sayings. That it indeed is life-giving and life-changing. This is the call of God to Peter. This is the call of God to us. That we wouldn't let those mistakes define us. That we wouldn't let that wind attract us. That we would know that God reaches out to us no matter what we may be going through and simply says, "Come." So the question for today is, where is your boat? Is it right beneath you? Do you feel that wood upon your sides? Or today, or tomorrow, or whatever may come your way, will you have the courage to step out of it, to leave that boat to the side, and to walk with the God who changes our lives and changes our world for the better? We are part of a great, amazing, wonderful, holy journey that calls us to have courage. Courage to step out of that boat. Courage to keep on going when we start to sink. Courage to reach out to those whose names we do not know and share God's love and peace with them. So, dear friends, let this be our story. Let this be our call, that we have that courage, that God indeed trusts us. And no matter where we may falter, no matter how many wrong turns we make, God still reaches out to us, saying, "Come to me," and we will walk with him today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Let us pray together. Good and gracious God, thank you for being a God who does not give up on us. Thank you for being a God who shares this journey with us. Help us, O God, to be mindful of your call. Help us to know that you are with us, saying, "Come." Give us the courage to keep on going. Give us the courage to share our faith with the world. For we may never know what impact we make unless we make it with you. So be with us, O God. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Help us to be your holy people. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.